May it please the court. Amy Bartholo for Mr. Stuart Hopkins. This is an appeal of a 2915 hearing. Mr. Hopkins was convicted at trial of first-degree murder. He filed a pro se motion in the Taney County Circuit Court, and that court entered an order notifying the public defender that Mr. Hopkins had filed a motion. Counsel then entered and filed an amended motion. The Southern District remanded Mr. Hopkins' case to the motion court for an abandonment hearing, finding that the amended motion had been untimely filed, but then transferred the case to this court because this court currently has before it the case of Creighton versus State, which was argued on October 5th. The issue in Creighton is identical to the issue here, which is whether an order of notification constitutes an appointment of counsel under Rule 2915G, which triggers the time for filing an amended motion, or whether the notification is just what it says it is, a notice that a pro se motion has been filed, and then the later entry of appearance of counsel is the triggering event for the time limit for the filing of the amended motion.
Was there ever an order of the court appointing the public defender's office?
No, not that distinctly said that the public defender was being appointed. And when I listened to the Creighton case, I was concerned about this notion that there is somehow, that Rule 2915G somehow creates two separate procedures, one for the public defender and one for retained counsel, because I don't think that was the intent of the court, but it would certainly be the effect if you know, the separate procedure, because what happens, and I guess I have the benefit of having represented move-ons as retained counsel as well as public defender. In a retained counsel case, often the pro se move-on does not file an affidavit of indigency, and either he or his family contacts retained counsel, who then starts to review the case and eventually enters an appearance, which starts the time limit running for the amended motion. Now, there's no time limit designated for when an entry of appearance has to be made. Certainly, the ethical rules require diligence in the representation of a client, but it gives retained counsel extra time before the time starts running for the amended motion. There is nothing in the rule that says how an appointment is made. Now, the court could certainly say, you are appointed. The court could say what it did in Law versus State, which is, this is not an appointment, this is just a notice that it has been filed, and then an entry is later filed, which starts the time limit running. While the motion court is under a duty to cause counsel to be appointed, this rule certainly doesn't say that the motion court is under some obligation to immediately appoint counsel. So
I understand your argument that the notice was not an appointment, but then was there ever an appointment, I think, is part of the question, or was there an entry of appearance, which you're saying there's no reason the public defender can't start the time running by entering an appearance just like private counsel?
I think it makes more sense if the entry of appointment by the public defender is identical to what happens when a retained counsel enters.
Entry of appearance, you mean?
An entry of appearance is
what
triggers the time
limit. Let me ask you a question about that. If the notification doesn't constitute an appointment, what assurance would the court have that the defenseless and oppressed who can't afford counsel ever get timely representation?
If a notice doesn't
constitute appointment, and the affidavit of indigency has been filed, and the public defender can sit indefinitely on these cases, what assurances does the court have that somebody who can't afford counsel will get timely representation?
Well, the motion court can do what courts do in all other types of civil cases, which is, if there's no movement in the case, they can bring him up on a video screen if he's in the DOC.
No, I understand. I'm saying that you're saying notification doesn't constitute appointment, that we should just wait until there's an entry of appearance. And my concern is, what if there isn't, and what if the public defender is notified, so the court thinks it's done all it's obligated to do, But the public defender lets the movement languish in jail for 3, 4, 5, or 6 months before entering appearance.
That's certainly never happening. We have the same intent as the court does in ensuring that indigent defendants get represented. And there are post-conviction movements working till midnight routinely to make sure that these amended motions get filed. The only reason why
what you're suggesting is the clock never starts.
Well, if this notice has been made and nothing occurs, then the motion court can do what it does routinely in civil cases, which is send out a notice that there will be a dismissal of the case for lack of prosecution.
But there's no one's ever been appointed. Defender. Why would there be? At some point, you have to appoint counsel, right? I mean, how does the public defender have the right to appear in the case? How do they represent this person?
Well, we routinely enter cases in which we haven't
been appointed. So you enter an appearance?
Right.
So if they don't, can you be enjoined to enter an appearance? Can the court then issue an order for you to appointing you, and so then the time would run? There's many alternatives other than never appointing anyone or acting without appointment.
I agree. If an entry of appearance is never made, then the court could say, then I'm appointing you.
This court could set a time frame within which the court needs to appoint counsel, should it want to. But your point is the notice said it was just a notice. So right. In this case, the defender had no way to know that, and the court did not intend the notice to act as an appointment.
Absolutely not. Mr. Allen was operating under the assumption that the timing was running from his entry of appearance.
But why should it be when we clearly said in Stanley that the entry of appearance is not when the clock should start running?
Well, in Stanley, there was an absolute appointment of counsel. So there was a statement by the court that counsel was appointed. And this court said that it runs from the designation, not the later entry. Well, the designation was the appointment. So
is that's in accord with our rule, which says the time runs from the earlier of the appointment or the entry of appearance?
Correct. But here there was no appointment, so the entry is what triggers the timing for it. So I don't think Stanley, you don't have to overrule Stanley in any respect because the facts are completely different there. Here there was no appointment, there was a notice, and then counsel entered and the time started running, just like in any retained counsel case. They get the case, they enter their appearance, and the time starts running.
Your initial comment as to whether the rule intended to have different provisions for indigent counsel than for indigent defendants than for defendants who could retain counsel makes some sense when you think that the system is set up for a pro se litigant to file the motion and then counsel be appointed and there's an opportunity for an amended motion where an attorney can evaluate the claims and set them out with the attorney's legal expertise. Is that necessary if there's retained counsel to have that structure for the initial motion and then an amended motion to be filed within a set period of time?
Is there a need for the structure?
To have the initial motion and then anticipate there should be an amended motion filed and that counsel and the defendant, we've set it up, the defendant is abandoned if the amended motion is not filed. None of that makes sense if there is retained counsel.
Well, I think the rule gives, by meaning or not, it gives retained counsel that extra time before filing an entry of appearance because sometimes, and this has happened to me, I get in, a family contacted me when I was in private practice, asks, can you take our case? And I review the case and determine this is better handled by the public defender because truly the client is indigent whether the family can come up with money or not. Mm-hmm. And then contacted the public defender and said, you need to enter to represent this client because that delayed the entry of appearance by public defender. Was the public defender ever appointed in that case? Technically, no, but they entered their appearance and the time began running. So we're all concerned about the indigent defendant being represented and having counsel having the ethical obligation to have enough time to ethically represent that client. And I think by this procedure of the notice, That ensures that you're having ethical representation and timely representation, because the court can always bring the public defender in who has been notified and said, you haven't done anything. Are you entering or not? If not, I'm appointing you, or I'm appointing a member of the private bar to represent this.
In light of the fact that counsel could always ask for a motion for a continuance for additional 30 days to file their amended motion, what's the purpose of a court issuing a notice if it's not to appoint them clearly as the attorney of record? What's the purpose of a notice?
Well, in candor, it's because the public defender contacted the circuit judges after Waters and said, we cannot ethically represent these clients. And at that point, the circuit court has to determine whether it's going to appoint private counsel to handle some of these cases, or whether it's going to notify that there's a case out there. Can the public defender handle it? Will it enter? And then create that procedure going forward. But to appoint immediately and have all these clients out there with time running that can't have ethical representation, what we're going to wind up with is an avalanche of abandonment hearings, because the attorneys can't.
But attorneys can file motions for continuance or for extension of time to file the answer. Are those being denied, or?
No, they're routinely being granted, but it almost makes up for, by the time counsel's appointed and it's assigned to an attorney, at least 2 weeks have passed. Now, in this case,
Before you get to that, you're discussing, you've just been discussing what's the wisdom of a rule that doesn't set a certain time or that delay. But here, we're not dealing with what's the wisdom of the rule going forward. You got something called notice, not appointment. And the statute says, our rule says, either when counsel is appointed or when counsel enters an appearance, and doesn't distinguish those two based on whether you're a public defender or not. So you're saying how it would be bad for us to change the rule or to interpret the rule to require immediate appointment, but to resolve your case, we don't have to resolve that larger issue of what's a good rule or a bad rule.
No, absolutely not.
It's a question
not.
Of was there an appointment here or was there not?
Right.
Not there whether there should have been.
Correct. There was no appointment here, and the rule actually says it should cause counsel to be appointed. The public defender can review the case and enter. An appointment could be complete at that period of time also.
Does the public defender statute allow the public defender to enter appearances without appointments?
Absolutely, and we do routinely in a number of cases. Now, speaking specifically about these post-conviction cases, I think Chapter 600.042.3 says that the defender shall accept requests for legal services from eligible persons entitled to counsel under the Constitution or any other law of the state, and certainly the post-conviction rules have the force and effect of a law. There's cases that say that. So we are able to appoint, under our statute, a defender. Our director can appoint a defender to enter into any case where appointment is required.
Where's the request there?
With the affidavit of indigency would be the request.
Which is forwarded to us.
It's forwarded to us by the court. We're aware of it. Sometimes they don't file an indigency affidavit. I've had clients, I'm a direct appeal counsel as well, and I'll have indigent clients who file their Form 40 but forget to fill out the indigency affidavit. Well, I know they're indigent, so sometimes I can contact the court and let them know that this client's actually indigent. Or I could directly contact our post-conviction office and say, there's a pro se motion pending, but the court is not on notice that it needs appointment or that the public defender needs to be looking at this case, and then the public defender could directly enter and start the time that way. So the court is one way to cause an appointment, but the public defender can also cause the appointment, and we're certainly interested in doing that. We don't want any indigent defendants to go unrepresented.
Your response to Judge Fisher's concern about pro se movement being languishing without representation is that you or the public defender or the public defender's office has an ethical obligation to that prisoner. When does that start? If there hasn't been a request to you, if the court hasn't appointed you, why do you have this ethical obligation at all?
Well, if we are notified by the motion court that there's an indigent client that needs representation, then our ethical obligation, I think, is to investigate that, determine whether he's truly indigent and does require our services.
So you're saying that an attorney-client relationship is formed when the court notices you?
It would certainly be there when we enter our appearance. I don't know if it would be there before that.
Why do you have an ethical obligation if there's no attorney-client relationship? I understand that you do and you take that on, but I think the question is, without an appointment, maybe it's the indigency affidavit that you think starts it running, or?
Well, I think under our public defender statutes, we have an ethical obligation to represent people, indigent defendants who need legal services.
So and here the defendant had filed his indigency affidavit in advance.
Correct. That's correct. And the motion court notified us and we entered our appearance. And as much time passed between the court notifying us and Mr. Allen entering his appearance. So there's no languishing. It was about a little over a month in each time period. And his amended motion was filed within the 90 days of the entry. So I would ask this court to deem it timely filed and reach the merits of the case, which I'm out of time to discuss.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. Rule 29.15e states that when an indigent defendant or movement files a pro se motion, the court shall cause counsel to be appointed. In this case, the movement filed a timely pro se motion and an affidavit of indigency. Therefore, the motion court was required to appoint counsel. Because the motion court was required to appoint counsel, and because the court's notification to the public defender's office was a designation of that office as an attorney for the movement, the notification should be considered an appointment.
And how is the public defender supposed to have known that when this was made, and absent some statement to that effect from this court here? Whatever the trial court should have done, and you're saying the trial court erred, the question is, was the public defender appointed, not should they have been appointed, as opposed to notified?
The public defender knew, and we can tell that, because they entered an appearance.
Well, they knew they were notified this person needed assistance. How did they know their appointment started then when it didn't say it was completed?
Because this is just typical practice throughout all the circuits, that whenever the public defender gets the case, they are appointed, and then the time limits start.
And what in the record shows that they intended that to be an appointment, the time start, when they changed from previously appointing counsel to now saying we're notifying counsel and not appointing them, and then the trial court ran the time from the entry of appearance? So
the trial court didn't necessarily run the time. There was no finding of whether the amended motion was timely in this case. So it's unclear what time the motion court decided was the actual time. But also, the motion court was required to appoint counsel, and there's no other indication throughout the record
But my point is, and you're saying, whether we agree or not, you're saying the court failed to do what you believe it had to do, but that can't turn silence about appointment into an appointment, and it can't turn something saying notice, can it? How can the public defender have been on notice that the notice really was an appointment and their time was running when it doesn't say that?
But the rule says that when a movement files an affidavit of indigency, then counsel shall be appointed. And the public defender's office knows that they represent indigent movements. Therefore, whenever the...
So we don't even need any notice from the court at all. It should just run from the affidavit of indigency. I mean,
well, the notification.
You understand my point. How is the public defender supposed to know when it starts? Not should they know, not should we just go forward, not what language, but in this particular case, how was counsel to know?
In this particular case, counsel, I can't say anything other than counsel should know and did know because they filed an affidavit of indigency, or an entry of appearance following this notification. The affidavit can't necessarily be the notice because we don't know at what point the public defender's office receives that information. But we know that the public defender, the office, received that information when they received the notification.
And the rule says, our rule says, the time runs from the appointment or from the entry of appearance if there's been no appointment. It doesn't say for private counsel it runs from entry of appearance. It says if you haven't been appointed, it runs from entry of appearance. So it doesn't appear to distinguish based on private versus public, but based on appointment versus non-appointment.
That's true, Your Honor, but when an affidavit of indigency is filed in Rule 2915E, counsel has to be appointed. So I think there are two separate tracks that Rule 2915G does take. In number one, it's the date that counsel is appointed. And because counsel has to be appointed, there has to be an appointment date. In part two, there has to be, it's from the entry of appearance. Now, because in part two, when there's an entry of appearance, private counsel never has to enter. If a movement is not indigent, there's no requirement that any amended motion is ever filed, or the movement could himself or herself file their own amended motion. The requirements only come in that part one when the movement is indigent and an affidavit of indigency is filed. Then there are requirements for counsel, such as either filing an amended motion or a statement in lieu of an amended motion within that certain time period. The time period starts for counsel who is not appointed when they enter, because the court could call up that case without an affidavit of indigency at any time. There's no requirement that an amended motion is ever filed. And so those are two different and separate tracks based on whether a movement is indigent and files that affidavit of indigency, or whether that movement is not indigent. And here, post-conviction counsel had to be appointed. There was an affidavit of indigency. Question number 18 on the Form 40 says, are you planning on filing an affidavit of indigency? And he put yes. He was also represented by the public defender's office at his trial, so there was no question that this movement was indigent.
So would you have us overturn the earlier case which held, where the court's notification specifically said this is not an appointment? You would say we nonetheless, everybody should have known it was an appointment?
Yes, Your Honor. Whenever the court decides that, looks at the case, sees an affidavit of indigency, and finds that this is a movement who's indigent, then that should go under Rule 2915G Part 1 and should appoint counsel and the time limits start running.
Maybe the court erred, but how does it make a non-appointment an appointment?
I don't think the court erred. I think the court appointed counsel at that point and just called it a notification. And for whatever reason the court did that, it was still had the effect of an appointment.
And whatever the court's intent, even if it didn't intend to make that an appointment, it still was.
Nothing in the rule allows the court to do anything other than make an appointment when a 2915 motion and an affidavit of indigency is received. So at that point, the rule does not allow the court to notify the public defender's office. It requires the motion court to appoint the public defender's office or
counsel. Is there any time frame in the motion for that appointment for the court to act?
There is no time frame in the rule. However, this court has held that the time limits should be, these cases should be handled very quickly because they when the time limits are disregarded, finality would be undermined and scarce public resources would be expended to investigate vague and often illusory claims following unwarranted courtroom hearings. The cases, the 2915 and 24035 rules were put in place so that these cases would be handled as quickly as possible following a conviction. It's not that the cases don't want to hear the claims, but the longer that they wait, the further back the trials or guilty pleas were, and it makes it more difficult for the courts to adjudicate these claims. So although there are not time limits set out in the rule for when an appointment must be made, it should be made as soon as possible so that the mandatory time limits can go forward and so that these claims can be adjudicated quickly and as efficiently as possible.
Now, you indicated earlier that when attorneys get these notifications, that they all know it means they're being appointed. Is there any evidence in the record of that statement that you made, or how pervasive are these notices around our state?
There's nothing in the record that specifically says that that the attorneys knew to enter as soon as this notification happened. But in this case, it was nearly a month after the notification that the attorney entered. It seems, based on my own practice, that the notifications are somewhat prevalent, but not everywhere. So that's another problem with the notifications, is that if the notifications are not an appointment, you have some division, some circuits appointing counsel as the rule states, and some circuits notifying counsel, and that makes the rules not potentially arbitrarily followed. Because
Creighton was from St. Louis, this one's from Taney County.
Exactly, Your Honor. And there have been a couple of other cases throughout the state that have been decided, and I believe there are a couple more that are being held pending this court's decision in Creighton and here in Hopkins. I know that Laub came out of Cedar County, which was the Southern District case that found that the notification specifically stating that the when the court said this is not an appointment was not an appointment. That was out of Cedar County. And I believe Price versus State was the same thing, similar case, and that was out of Boone County. So it's happening all over the state, but not uniformly all over the state.
Do you agree with the state that they have the ability under the statute to enter an appearance without a court order appointing them?
I don't believe that that's what the statute says, but I am unsure of what the public defender has interpreted that statute to say. I can't speak to what their practice is.
I think the statute says the director and defendants shall, within guidelines as established by the commission as set forth in subsection 4 of this section, accept requests for legal services from eligible persons.
I have never seen that a request outside of an affidavit of indigency in a post-conviction case. I know that in trial cases that people can request the services of the public defender, but I am unsure if that has happened. But if Ms. Barthelot has had that happen, then I would say that they can. But that's not something that I've seen. And when an affidavit of indigency is filed, that would start the first part of Rule 2915E. If they don't file an affidavit of indigency and they are indigent, then that would probably proceed under the second prong until they filed an affidavit of indigency or otherwise hired or a pro bono counsel or someone.
So what if the facts in this case were no affidavit of indigency had been filed, the public defender's office had never represented the defendant before, but the public defender's office did receive such a notice as they did in this case? What would your argument be then?
Well, I don't know that the public defender would ever receive a notice like they did in this case if there was no affidavit of indigency. I haven't seen a case like that where the court would let the public defender know, because at that point it would assume that the movement was not indigent and would have the choice of whether or not it wanted to hire its own counsel or not. Now, if you mean perhaps that the public defender found out some way and then entered an appearance later, I think that is a little bit of a muddy part of the rule, but without an affidavit of indigency filed, there's never any requirement for the court to appoint counsel, and then it doesn't follow along that first prong of 2915G.
What part of the rule do you rely on for saying that the filing of an affidavit of indigency starts any time period running for the amended motion?
The affidavit of indigency does
it's
not.
It's a hard word to say.
But at that point, when the movement files the affidavit, then counsel shall cause counsel to be, the court shall cause counsel to be appointed.
But you're saying things start from the affidavit, but that doesn't start any time period running.
No.
That simply notifies the court that it may want to act.
Right, that it has to appoint. So it's not the date of the affidavit, but when the affidavit is filed, then the court knows it has to appoint counsel. At that point, when it appoints counsel, that starts the time limits.
Exactly.
But if it doesn't receive an affidavit of indigency, it wouldn't know that it had to appoint counsel, and then there would be no appointment. And so if later down the road a counsel entered, then it would go down the second. But the court could call the case up without an amended motion ever being filed, because if the move-in is not indigent, those requirements for an amended motion or a statement in lieu of an amended motion are never triggered. And so later on, if an affidavit of indigency is filed, at that point, then the court would have to appoint counsel. So there's still the two separate tracks. It just depends on, there's no time limit started by the affidavit, but that triggers the appointment, which is then required. If there are no further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Bartholo, did I hear you say that it takes 2 weeks for the appointment of counsel to be processed before an actual public defender is assigned?
Well, I mean, there's a range of time. Sometimes we have to appoint contract counsel, and that can add on to the time. So it's not like the court appoints and we run back and enter our appearance.
I mean, is that time any different from the notice of appointment? From the notification that there is an indigent defendant who's filed a motion.
I wouldn't be comfortable guessing about what the average time is. Here, we were there was a notification, and I would say a very reasonable time transpired before Mr. Allen entered his entry of appearance.
Clearly, the practice has arisen to avoid the time periods in the rule.
I don't know that that's true. No one's trying to end run the rule. We're trying to provide ethical representation.
By not being bound by the time periods in the rule. Because you say under the current staffing of the public defender, there isn't sufficient staffing to meet the requirements of the time periods in the rule. I mean, isn't that the whole purpose?
It fluctuates. It can vary. But I don't think there's anything that would, if we were notified there's this indigent client out there and the head of the that office came back and said, we can't take another case, then the trial court could appoint private counsel or notify private counsel that you're going to enter and represent this indigent client because this office is overburdened, or any variety of things could be done. But I don't think the public defender is trying to end run the time limits of the rule, because what winds up happening is if it can't get filed timely and then it's an abandonment, and then the client certainly is not responsible in any of these situations for the late filing of the amended motion.
Well, you said earlier that if in fact the court if the Supreme Court requires the court to appoint counsel and the period starts under the rule, there'll be lots of cases where there'll be claims of abandonment because counsel won't meet the time period. So how is that not an end run around the time periods that are set in the rule?
Well, we will certainly do our best to ethically represent the client under those situations. I mean, like we always have done. You know, here, the reality is there was no appointment. There was no explicit appointment. Mr. Allen was operating under the assumption that the time limit ran from the entry of appearance, and he certainly complied with the 90 days. In fact, he filed it the day after Christmas, so I'm sure he was in the office finishing it up on Christmas Day. So there's an ambiguity here. And just like Judge Russell, you mentioned the case of Stanley. Well, it cites Snyder and White, which are very old cases. But there was an ambiguity into what the rule meant, and it applied respective relief going forward. But for Schneider, this court looked at all the claims that were raised, because it's not fair to that client to not get his claims reviewed simply because there was this ambiguity in the rule. So if going forward this court interprets the rule to mean that an order of appointment, an order of notification is not an appointment, I think it should still, these cases that have, you know, tried to comply with the orders and the entries should still get review on the merits.
But the question is, I mean, the time periods are in the rule for a purpose, and it appears it is thought that those time periods are too short and they're not adequate for the public defender. And so, I mean, we have solutions to fix the problem that may be beyond this case, but the question is, should we compel the judge to appoint the counsel and set a time period and make that happen? and make the rule longer for when the amended rule can be filed, so that we don't have the situation that Judge Fisher points out, and that is it's totally left to the good intentions of any public defender whether they file timely or don't file for purposes of leaving an indigent person without relief and without timely filing.
I think the court absolutely has the authority and ability to set more concrete deadlines and tell what constitutes an appointment. The ambiguity here is that if the rule says cause counsel to be appointed, but not exactly what that means. And so is it an order of notification? Is it a direct, you are appointed? What about when they say, this is not an appointment, but we're just notifying you? Or when we're entered, is that an appointment? Or, you know, when the public defender isn't appointed, but decides it needs to represent this client because counsel should have been appointed. So it can certainly be more concrete, but I noticed that I wanted to know what federal court interprets, because there was an issue raised in opponent's brief about we're going to create all this ambiguity in federal courts. But under the CFRs for purposes of ADEFA, and I know this is not a death case, but there they define appointment means the provision of counsel in a manner that is reasonably timely in light of the time limitations for seeking state and federal post-conviction review and the time required for developing and presenting claims in the post-conviction proceedings. So if this court wants to get a concrete definition of appointment, it can, but it can also approve of the procedure that's happening now. And I really don't think indigent defendants are being left out to dry by the motion court or by the public defender.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case will be submitted.